Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Welcome, everyone, to Kill Me Now. I have a theme song for this guest, okay? Before I introduce her, because we're so fucking excited. Okay, ready? Here it is. I fucking love her. 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 Fucking love her. I fucking love her. Love her. Love her. Fucking. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Maria Bamford is here.
Oh. Judy, I can't believe it. I am delighted. I'm amazed.
Oh my God.
I'm delighted. And I really, that song needs to be put on an album of some kind.
I know, don't you think? Maria, listen. I mean, I've known you forever.
Yes.
And this is going to be really annoying, but I think I love you on a such a good mental illness level of getting you. Do you know what I mean?
I love
you for the reasons the other people love you, but then I love you extra for visualizing so clearly all the shit that goes through my head. Just the fact that you can grasp all that the shit that goes in your head, and you can, it feels like you can sort of grab one thing and be like, okay, I'm going to create this scenario and everyone can kind of see what the fuck is going on in my head. And it's just, I can't even, it's so fucking raw and funny. Okay. That's it.
Thank you. But gosh, I am delighted. And now you'll find out that all my bits are so written in advance and well rehearsed that I'm not very intelligible when you talk to me in conversation.
I know that all your bits are rehearsed, but the fact that you so clearly visualize your thoughts, to
other people so that they can sort of understand it is fucking mind-boggling to me.
Well, that, thank you so much. And I remember, I don't know if I mean, the first time I saw you was at, I believe, the Comedy Gallery in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And just feeling like, oh no, I can never do it. She's a powerhouse.
No.
You know, just that, you know, anyways, you compare yourself with other people. And yeah, anyways.
Yeah, but you're such an individual. I'm just big and loud. All right. So let's talk about, you grew up in Duluth.
Yeah, and I'm there right now.
I know. Do you like it? Your mom's really sick, right?
My mom has the stage 4 lung cancer. And
I'm sorry. Isn't it the worst?
It really is. Not good. I'm not a fan. I don't like it with a thumbs up. But the great thing is that people maintain their personality with the closeness of mortality. My mom, she was in the ICU and she said, "I've lost 4 pounds." Oh, mom, did you know that when you know, even if a coffin is tighter on the hips, eventually it fits.
You know, my friend Henriette Mantel, I don't know if you remember her, but she, she said, if I'm ever on a life support system, I don't want to be unplugged until I'm down to a size 8.
And that's what happens is that the water leaves your body and 'cause water is a sign of life. And no, it's all good. My mother also said, I just want to be around long enough for those pillows I special ordered from Crate and Barrel to get in. Which she's not wrong.
Those are things you do look, you know, you have to have closure with.
Yeah. You want to see how they pop with the sunbrella fabric and the lilac bush.
Yeah. So you're in like a fucking shit show right now.
Yeah. Yes.
Life is shit. Like life is shit anyway. And then when you have like mental illness, it's shittier because everything is
Well, and I'm on heavy medication. So things are so much better than they were when I used to live here as a child.
Right.
Now I'm like, oh, I get it. There's a large body of fresh water that people seem to enjoy.
Right.
And,
but did you feel like, all right, so I do a lot of research on all my guests and I fucking love, I know it's bad. So
it's good.
You started feeling, this is what it says in the research.
Yes.
Like OCD-ish at 10 years old.
Yeah. Like 10, I started having fears that I'm going to, the comedic answer is I was going to chop my family up into chunks and bits, have sex with chunks and bits, put those chunks and bits on a Cobb salad, and then feed it to the baby Jesus.
Do you feel like you would have put dressing? would you have put the ranch or the balsam?
Habanero ranch. it wasn't a time where that OCD was better known. Now there's like websites you can get online counseling at a place called No CD. Get it? And it's wonderful.
No CD.
But at this point, they just sent me to a Christian therapist who.
I know, what the fuck? You know, the religion and the therapy, not a good combination. But you had these unwanted thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's part of your comedy is so much of the visualizing those unwanted thoughts, but they're so vivid and you're just fucking brilliant. So before you're 10, do you think, normal life, normal? Because I, as a mental illness person, you know, when people like look at my cuticles and, you know, I go through periods where they're just bloody and bleeding, you know?
Yes.
But I remember doing that when I was like 6. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were little things and then it just gets unbearable. Is that, do you feel like it was always going on, but then at 10 it was like,
Yeah, I mean, I was also a little sensitive, you know, very shy, but I think, it really, it got in there at around 9 or 10. And then I started developing behaviors that sort of made it worse, although it you know, I got an eating disorder. What, a white woman was bulimic?
Oh my God. Oh, that's come so, on. Please. Who hasn't? Yeah.
Tell me about it. Yeah. So things that probably the anxiety at the time, but were not.
Right. Do you feel like because you were in Duluth, Minnesota, it was treated differently than had you been like in Chicago or in New York City or in, or do you think it was just the, you know, a sign of the times?
It's, you know, I think it's hard to say because everybody, every place has its benefits. Like I have a friend who grew up in Manhattan and it just tons of therapy, tons of.
Right. Yeah.
And then they believe that that kind of made them more neurotic, that they got medicated too early, et cetera. And, yeah, and one nice thing about growing up, at least in the 80s in the Midwest, there was no pressure to succeed in my family for the most part. Like, it was like, hopefully we maybe you'll get married. Is that
is that something you're considering? Is that,
you could live in a group home?
Yeah.
Group homes, I am all on board, and I think it's a great idea. And I've tried to do it, reconfigure that situation in my own life. I love a cooperative living situation in theory.
Can you have a cooperative living situation with members of your immediate family?
That's
I can't.
A good question.
I don't think I can. It would not be cooperative. It would not be cooperative.
I can afford it. So I'm staying at the Residence Inn in Duluth, Minnesota, up by the Miller Hill Mile. And they don't have Wi-Fi.
Right.
You know, let's not worry about it. We don't need Wi-Fi today. And so I'm actually in my father's office, which my dad, but I could stay in their basement, and they offered several times if I could stay in their basement. But I know that sometimes, for example, when I tried to print something from my father's computer, he said, I'm not going to let you have my password. Dad, if I were playing the long game and this far, yeah, now I'm going to take you for all you have. Green all your retirement accounts. Oh, that'd just be
that is
so good.
Fucking hilarious.
But yes, my father will not let me have his password. So that's the kind of thing you want to avoid.
But that's your home. So your father is a doctor, dermatologist, and you were born on a naval base, correct?
Yes.
If you had to pick a part of the military that's your favorite, would it be the Navy?
Well, partially, yeah. My dad talks very fondly about submarines and enjoying the claustrophobic.
No.
Yes. He enjoyed it. He goes and visits a submarine anytime there's one available to him in a city that he is currently visiting.
Did he spend like a significant amount of time on?
Not years, but enough time.
Like a week, month?
I think, yeah, months on a submarine.
On a fucking submarine?
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, he was the physician on board, so he said mostly he dealt with STDs because they're sailors. And I've had an STD, so what am I talking about? But maybe that's also for
that's because you were with that sailor. Yeah.
No, that's because I got together with a really interesting guy after a show and met him at a freeway entrance ramp motel with no name.
That's not true.
Yes. That sometimes took the edge off any mental anxiety was a one night stand.
Really?
You didn't do that?
No, I can't. I'm too emotionally like, you can't touch me unless I really know you and trust you. Like, I don't know. I've never got solace from like that.
It's like a cutting. It's sort of like cutting.
Right.
But because it isn't comfortable and it is frightening and re-traumatizes you. But there is some relief afterwards. Like, God, you know, my friend Jackie Cation will say, I didn't die.
Right. But then didn't you feel uncomfortable with the person you don't really know? Like,
well, if you've had a couple of drinks and and you're also not really in your right mind.
Right.
It's hard to notice.
Yeah, I wasn't ever into the one. I don't know.
Good for you.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed, when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, they have palm trees, they have evergreens, they have houseplants, and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York, okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
So your father's a doctor, your mother...
Mom was has been a family therapist.
Family therapist, right?
Yes, but she didn't train till after we left left the house. So some of her techniques were not utilized until
after,
unfortunately.
Right, but you probably gave her that interest in doing that, correct?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, right. Just sort of like, what's going on?
And your father also has had anxiety and depression, right?
Yes. He has taken antidepressants. and but I don't really need them. And my parents recently took an interest in, honey, we read in the New York Times that hallucinogens, that ayahuasca can really help you face the afterlife. So we're going down to Minneapolis and we're going to do it.
No.
They didn't actually. My mom got a call from her psychiatrist who said, no. And then, because she's a bipolar. And then my dad just decided to take mushrooms, which I didn't know was possible in a religious ceremony, that you can just opt out and say, hey, could you cut the communion wine with some Diet Pepsi? Oh, yeah, I'd like to have the sanctified blood of Christ. But if you got two rocks and a lime back there, I'd appreciate it. So they had some kind of spiritual experience, but
was it that ayahuasca? What is it called?
It was supposed to be ayahuasca. They were going to do ayahuasca, but I would love to do drugs. I would love to do them much.
All right, but don't you feel like I can't? I mean, I smoke pot and everything. You know, I'm into the pot, but I am really worried about all these other hallucinogenic drugs and the 5,000 antidepressants I take. No?
Yeah. No, well, I don't know. I mean, like I'm really pumped with what I'm on, which is I'm on 1,000 milligrams of Dovecot, 50 milligrams of Seroquel.
I love Seroquel. I was on that during my depression. Oh, that was good. Do you want to sleep all the fucking time?
I do want to sleep all night. I was about to take a nap before we began talking.
Oh, yeah, I'll try to keep you awake.
Oh, no. I'm up now. Now that I see a human face.
Yeah.
But it's changed my life, you know, really, really helped me. Now, if somebody said, oh, but Maria, you seem a lot slower, or you're not achieving as much. I don't care.
And would you say, go fuck yourself? Like, yes. That's what I would say. Say, I'm not achieving enough. Why don't you fucking worry about yourself, you fucking asshole? Like, that's how I would say it, but not you. Well, you're Midwestern.
Not many people would say it in that way. They wouldn't say you're not achieving enough. They would go, well, don't you? Have you ever written a book?
Oh, God. Which is... You believe? All right. So my book just came out, but I have a whole thing about the shit people say to comedians that they would never say to any other entertainer.
Yes. Any other job.
Right.
You wouldn't say, I know there's other jobs like that. Like if you're a physician, people go, hey, could you take a look at this?
Right.
Or if you're, if you're a therapist, people go, so I was molested.
Right.
And, so there are certain things that people say, but yeah, no, comedian.
No, but after a show, like it's, and I think it's because we do bear our souls and people think they really know us. And they say the fucking stupidest shit. I don't want to hear your jokes. I don't. I don't want to hear about your, the mental illness, sometimes I'm okay with that, where people are like, I'm really anxious and blah, blah, blah. And I love your podcast. And because I always talk about mental health in my podcast. But like, there are some things that are like, oh, I haven't laughed. My whole family was just killed in a car crash and I came here to laugh. Thank you. Those are the great things. But the other shit.
Yes. Yeah, so stuff that's less.
No boundaries. The no boundaries.
Yeah. I mean, if it's just not super helpful, like, which I've said shit like this myself.
Right.
Where I go, my husband's a big fan. No, no, no.
Right, right.
Keep your trap shut. Let your husband talk.
Right.
Then you just stand back. Keep your arms folded.
Right.
Look down. You're not into it. I get it.
Right.
We don't need to reiterate. You're not a fan. I get it.
Yeah, I know. It's very fucking weird. It's very fucking weird. All right. So I'm fascinated with people's childhoods and how they grew up. And you and your sister, like that photo of your whole family in 1984 could just be like any generic family number one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when you look in your eyes and you're like, oh my God, there's a fucking genius in there. But it looks like just like average, like you would be in a picture frame that someone buys.
Oh, well, yes, we're a super average group. My sister is a super wingnut as well. She was a pathologist for 15 years and then she trained to be a life coach and then eventually shaman.
Yeah, so, she's a shaman.
Which is,
and she has four kids.
And she has a loving, wonderful husband. And she's a relative. She's a very pleasant person. She's still bossy. I don't care how many animal spirits you got going for you. She has a strong personality. But yeah, my family is very, is good. They're good. I like them.
All right. So here's my question. You're shy. You're in high school. You play the violin.
Yes.
When did you start taking violin lessons?
At 3. And
That's not overachiever, part one.
No, listen, phone it in, but if you could just do something that would be listed in the New Yorker by the time you're 40, it would be nice. My mom does like shiny things, achievements, medals.
Right.
Situations.
How did you pick violin?
Well, she said, do you want to do dancing or do you want to do violin? And I remember the whole dancing thing. I'd done a little bit of it and seemed like you had to carry around a lot of accessories and remember a lot of stuff like a stool and, a costume. I was like, ooh, that sounds. And then violin, I didn't know what it was. So I signed up. And turns out that is a world of accoutrements.
Right.
And
wasn't. Yeah, I know. It's a lot of shit. But do you think it helped you emotionally?
Yeah. Well, the great thing, it was an ongoing community. It was a structure. It was also that learning. If you practice something over and over again, you will get good at it.
Right,
Whether you enjoy it or not. And that, I think, has served me in comedy for sure. Like I don't enjoy, somebody was asking me on a show, they're like, do you like doing anything? And I'm like, like, it's always a bit of a struggle.
Right, right, right.
You do most things. So I think, that really helped me, like, the idea that just do it. Just do it, and then right. You'll...
And you'll see, and it, the thing, because I was same, I think music saved me, too. And okay. I feel like, you know, because I have very bad ADHD, and that was the only thing I could focus on. Like, I could sit there for hours, and I was like, you know... And I feel like you're right. Like the structure and the knowing if you put your mind to something, you will accomplish something. And also knowing what you're going to be doing for the next hour is also pretty helpful to me. But I find that there's a lot of comedians who are musicians too, because of the timing thing and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. And I think it's great. It keeps you off the pipe, keeps you right. off the pole. And
right.
And also you see, just like in stand-up, you get to see people blossom, like get better
right.
after practice, which that is one of the favorite things I have about stand-up is like you'll see somebody 1 week and you'll be like, I don't know.
Right.
And then like 6 months later, you're just like, oh my God, can I open for you?
Yeah, I know.
I love you so much.
But it's a lot of work, but it is a lot, yeah. You know, even though, I mean, I know that you rehearse, I've read that, and it's pretty obvious because you're so fucking perfect with all your characters. But if you didn't get on stage and do it on stage, and that's not rehearsed. I mean, you're rehearsing it in the mirror or whatever, but you know, doing it on stage, every time there's a new audience, it's like a different fucking show, you know?
I totally go where the love is, which right. may be a weakness. Some people might call that also
taking care of yourself.
Well, I've also heard a lack of courage.
No, you know what? That's not true. That's self-care. That's fucking self-care. I feel like, you know, you recently said something. Wait, where is it? I have to say something about that. You think that all, if you're going to go to a comedy club, you need to YouTube. If you don't know the comedian, you need to YouTube or go wherever and listen to their stand-up, because if you don't, that's where hecklers come from and that's where Trump supporters come from. And I couldn't agree more. Like, I heard you interviewed and you said, I'd rather do a Tuesday, Wednesday than a Friday set. And I so agree with you. I'd rather do one night and mm-hmm. the people in the area who know me, I do one show of people, the small amount of people who know me.
Yes.
And love me and appreciate me and not have to deal with. I totally agree with you. And I don't think that's copping out. But don't you think it's changed a lot since that fucking piece of shit became president?
Well, and I know I was just doing the road a little bit, you know, like it's definitely more volatile if somebody is, at the live shows.
Yeah.
So it was like clear, like, oh, because people are, you know, visually wearing a Trump hat.
Right.
And I think, you know, just in everyday life, I was just in Minnesota, coffee shop.
Was this or?
The last live show where I had Trump supporters mistakenly think it was a Cheesecake Factory, they walked out of the show, was Buffalo, New York. And I think also I made the mistake of doing too many shows there. I think. It was
because
like,
they give, if it's not full, they'll go, oh, go on the radio, give two tickets away here and there. And people don't, they're like, oh, free comedy show. I can't fucking take it.
Yeah, which is not some, you know, and I love that attitude of hope of like going, it's free, I'll go.
Yeah.
That is very brave to
right.
Dedicate your next 3 hours to entertainment that you may not like. Oh, it's music?
Right.
Uh-oh. So,
but it's been hard. It's hard because I want to avoid that too. I feel like I fucking paid my due. All right. So I'm in Provincetown right now.
Yeah. Are you doing live shows? Because the only live shows I'm doing are face-to-face at like 6 feet away at a coffee shop.
Right.
Like, I do those one-on-one shows on top.
I know. I love those. You think that's not ballsy? It is.
I'm preaching to the choir. I'm there with people who are like, it's very loving.
I couldn't do it. I mean, I could, but I couldn't do it like you do it. So I There's an outdoor theater here, and I do shows at Monday night and Wednesday night in front of a live audience. It's really saved me being able to get on stage. And I mean, they're 25 feet away and we're, you know, everyone's far apart, but I don't care. I don't care. My papers are flying all over the place. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and it's Provincetown. But that being said, there were Trump supporters at my show the first night who wanted their money back, and then they defaced my posters with a Sharpie. They wrote horrible show. Now,
why
are there Trump supporters in my home of Provincetown? Like, don't come here. That's not what we're about. But it's like everyone is on edge and in a bad mood because of that orange piece of shit.
No, I mean, I know there's psychological studies of like where they watched kids who were asked to, anyways, people are just mimicking what the leaders
do. Right, right.
You know, so it's suddenly not only okay, but it's encouraged to be not great as a human being.
So I love the way you Midwesternize everything I say. Yeah. Okay.
Listen, I hate some stuff. I can't put my finger on it, but yeah, it's just the mean-spiritedness is so
like it's bizarre. Like he's giving it, you know, it's okay to be an asshole. It's okay to be a bully. It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know I filed a restraining order against Trump as a joke, but also, you know, as some sort of meaningful.
Right.
I live tweeted it and immediately like death threats. And I was just like, oh,
this is a fucking joke. I'm trying to say something.
Yeah. And obviously, and you know, the judge denied me
it's great. Yeah, I want to fucking restrain. Get away out of my head.
Yeah.
But, exactly. But they don't know how to take a joke. Like that's the thing. When you don't get humor, there's really something wrong with you when you don't understand humor and satire and can't separate yourself from a fucking joke. It's not about you, asshole.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV. And I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
you go through high school and then you go to Bates College in Maine.
Yes.
How come you picked Bates?
Rando. Just, it was early admission. And
you're smart. So you were like a great student, right?
No, not that great. I would say like, B average. And I mean, I was a good salesman, I think.
Work?
But I don't think, I was no superstar. I just wanted to go far away, someplace right. I'd never been to. And I knew that they didn't have any sororities or fraternities. And yeah, I wish I had saved my parents some money because that was private college tuition. And I'm further making amends for that every day that I live by bringing my mother peanut butter toast.
Okay, so good. You made it up to them.
But
what did you think you wanted to study? Oh, wait, I have to know. Did you go to the prom in high school?
Yes. My school is very small. So we had a class of 50 students. So whatever you did, you were in. Like, I was varsity track. Varsity volleyball. Though, no, of course not. I should not have been.
No, please.
No. There weren't enough. There weren't enough to participate. So, I did actually win, and it was due to my father, because I was so depressed. I think my junior year, he got me into Dale Carnegie training courses.
Oh, yes, I read about this. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I started using all those techniques at school, mostly with the under 7th and 8th grade students who are the primary part of the election vote, electoral college there. And I was voted a winner of Frolic Queen. Due to people's true feelings, but for the majority of small people who I marketed myself to.
Good job.
Is your name Jason? Jason, so great to meet you, Jason. Really like that striped rugby shirt you have on. Vote for me.
I love that. You go to Bates. For two years, right?
2 years. And I was terrified after high school. I had a boyfriend leaving out of high school. And I just remember just going, oh, my God, I can't let anyone know how awful I feel and how, poorly I'm doing. Like, I just don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
I think I was having some kind of hypomania, difficulty sleeping. And definitely my eating disorder was getting worse and worse. And so at the end of my sophomore year, I broke up with my high school boyfriend because I could not tell him that I was bulimic, and then promptly called a suicide hotline.
You ate a lot and then called the suicide hotline.
Got that right.
Yep. I read that. Yes.
And then.
And that's the first time you said that because you did that, you believe in group. And other people helping, you know?
Yeah, totally. Like, I believe, got into 12-step groups, which I know is a cult. And I know but it's free.
And it helped. And you don't have to take everything. You take what's good for you.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they also can't kick you out. Even if you go to a meeting with a Bud Light, and you're eating an ice cream cake with a stolen porn DVD, all of that is... keep coming back. She's a newcomer. This is so awesome. And I'm in, I can't say which ones I'm in because of the cult rules. Which I love, which it bugs me so much because I just feel like I just want to tell everybody everything.
Yeah, I know.
So, but I'm in a food-related one, money-related one, and then a relationship-based one. Oh, they're so good.
So we can figure them out.
Just check them out.
Okay, so then you leave Bates and you go to Edinburgh, Scotland.
Yes. Scotland for, junior year abroad.
So you were planning on going back to...
I was planning sort of on going back, but then I got so depressed. And
you ended up at the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, I ended up in a treatment program at the University of Minnesota. And shave my head and...
I know, I'm not
getting
there
yet. So
when you were in Edinburgh, you were the first female member, right? Wasn't there an improv group that you joined?
The Improverts.
The Improverts.
Yeah, yeah. Which I, I didn't know that, that I was a, yeah, I didn't know that at the time, but.
Was that the first time you did improv?
It was the first time I did improv. And then also, I didn't do stand-up because stand-up in the UK is super intense. Like it's a lot like what I thought that the East Coast, I think, is like, where it's like people feel very comfortable heckling in full sentences that actually make a lot of sense. Like, you're like, ooh, very good point. Yeah. Very good point.
Yeah.
And so I did stand up a few times in college, my first couple of years. And then, but yeah, I didn't try it again until I went back to Minnesota.
Okay. So you do the improv, but so you realize that being on stage is something that you like.
Yes. Oh, yes. And okay. I always liked that. Like I ran for office only to do the speech.
Right.
Yeah. Cause I love to pontificate and, as again, my friend Jackie Cash, I'm constantly quoting her, all comics are fighting the wind of autism.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jackie. I love her. But it's so, do you feel, because I do, I feel way more comfortable talking on stage than I do in normal life.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love a hard out.
I know.
I love to mute and be muted. Fantastic. Let's get some clarity.
I love it. So you then shave your head and start playing the violin in the street.
Street and on stage and doing a lot of women's kind of nights. And moved into a few different cooperatives. And then, and I was not financially stable in any way. These were not money makers. I was a year late in rent at my hippie cooperative called
a year
Bosch. Yeah. House. Finally, everyone's like, hey man, listen, could you throw any money? And I'm like, yeah, I am so sorry. No,
I love that. It takes them a year. They're probably like, I don't know, maybe next month.
Yeah.
Or you do it next month.
And apparently that's not something I don't suffer from codependency. I was like, you guys are cool, right?
Yeah.
Then I got into improv in Minneapolis and started, just doing more stand-up. Then I did a one-person show because I realized, I get more time if I say
it's a one-person show. And people are already listening. If you're in a theater, people are already listening.
Which, I love that. And, so I started doing those and just an hour in length. And so, I did that. And so, by the time I think I was moved to Los Angeles, I was there in LA or in Minneapolis for 3 years, I'd done most of the things you would want to do in Minneapolis. I tried doing the road outside of the cities. Right. And, I did so poorly that I was just like, oh no, I can't.
Yeah, it's hard. The road is so hard. Especially for people who are not road comics.
Yeah. I'm not sociable. I'm not likable, particularly on some level.
Think you're likable.
Well, to people who've come out for a generic good time, I'm like a tense hummingbird where it's like, oh no, is everything going to be all right? No, it's not.
I remember I met you in the early 90s, I think it was.
Yes.
In LA. I was living in LA and we had the same manager, Bob Reed.
Bob Reed, that's right.
Can you believe it? And he was like, I remember he was like, oh my God, this Maria Bamford, she's fucking hilarious. Yes, he was such a huge fan. Yes, he loved you.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. I find it interesting that with all your shyness and then like, and your mental stuff, emotional stuff, that you go, like you've traveled, you've put yourself in situations that are sort of, you've been really brave. Like you went to Edinburgh and then you went, and you've been in the psych ward and then you moved to LA, which is a psych ward.
Oh my gosh. That is an interesting way of, except it's friendlier. I got to say friendlier than most psych wards. The thing I loved about LA is because I thought, well, if I'm going to move someplace for entertainment, LA, even if it's false friendliness, I approve.
You don't care.
I don't care. I would much rather have somebody say, you're a genius, you're amazing, and I definitely want to get together again. And have it
ever come true. Like, but the agent, like in Lady Dynamite, Anna Gasteyer's, just that I don't want to manage you. I mean, be your agent. I just want to be your best friend. It's just the most brilliant. I just wish I could do. It's so fucking hilarious because it's so true.
Yeah, no, it's so. I mean, of course, everybody knows the rumor that Hollywood is bizarre. Yeah. And then you start experiencing it, and you go, oh, I see. Like, right. If somebody says, even if we have a meeting and someone's giving me a bottle of water and a kale salad, that does not mean anything's going to happen after this.
Right.
Like, even if they say, we're going forward.
Right.
Love what you do.
Right.
Production starts tomorrow.
Right.
Wait. What? Hold on a second. Check your alarm up the next day, because it might not be on.
It's so, and my girlfriend, Elisa, is always like, why don't you tell me about, and I'm like, because it's not, who knows if it's ever going to happen. Like, I literally don't tell, like, these people who go on, like, Facebook and Twitter are like, something really good's going to happen soon. I can't talk about it. I'm like, what? I could never do that.
Yeah, I try to just enjoy exactly what's happened. Like, turns out I love kale salads. A Caesar salad?
Right. That was the good thing that happened. And yeah.
Free bottle of water. Can you validate my parking?
Right.
Wow. Once you lower the expectations of what it's going to be, and that everyone is hustling. I mean, I think that has been very interesting for me when I've met people who are very high up, or in my point of view, express an insane amount of anxiety, or
right.
as much as, or more than, like, yeah, you know, the kids are at private school, and then I got my the house in the Pacific Palisades, and property taxes due. I just hope this fucking deal goes through. You know, it's like, oh my God.
I know, right.
Like, people are all, you know, everyone's having their own private nightmare.
Right.
Or, experience that, yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with the one and only Maria Bamford. That's correct, people. If you like the show, I'm not even going to say that anymore. Since you like the show, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. It helps more people find this amazing podcast. 5 stars only, please. 5 stars. That's it. That's the only review you can give me. Also, if you have not purchased my book, Yes, I Can Say That, When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble, what the fuck is wrong with you? Seriously, it's great. The audiobook was featured in New and Noteworthy in the New York Times Book Review. Okay? Hello? And my parents are dead. So I need you to buy this book, okay? Or listen to the book, or get the Kindle. It's on the Kindle. I'm going to just read a review on Amazon. I'm just going to read you a random person I don't know. This book was great. It covers comedy and comedians and how their comedy can be socially relevant, political, dirty, cringeworthy, and funny at the same time. She covers the history of comedy all with her wonderful brand of humor. I highly recommend it, okay? That's from a random person. Anyway, it would really mean so much to me if you would check it out. All order links are on the homepage of judygold.com. Judygold.com, which is brand new, by the way. Or wherever books are sold. Okay? Don't go to the library, because I don't get any money for that. Anyway, but if you want to, you can. And you'll get COVID. Anyway, make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram for all upcoming virtual and live events and dates and just things I'm doing and what I'm thinking, because it's very important. Whatever I have to say. And that's at Judy Gold, at JEWDYGOLD, you know, like Jew Gold. Anyway, thank you all so much. Please remember to wear a mask, take good care of yourself, and vote. VOTE, vote. Thank you again. And as we always say, so long.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn. For part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now.
No, Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.